Now, for a short time this morning, we might turn our thoughts to the Song of Solomon and chapter 2 and verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, because we live in a mild climate, it's difficult for us to understand how any object that can offer us protection from the heat is welcome. But it's different in a land where there is nothing but heat. And how the Israelites rejoiced after they left Egypt when they came to Elam. They had taken their departure from the land of Egypt, but they were soon involved in these conditions of the wilderness. And they longed for water to drink. And they came to Moses, and they said, "What shall we drink?" And what a relief it was for them when they eventually came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And there, under the shadow of these trees, they found refreshment. And from the fruit of these trees, they found refreshment. And from the wells, they slaked their thirst. And we can almost see that motley crowd of people coming to these wells and rejoicing. And this is how it is, you see, with this story of the bride and the bridegroom in the Song of Solomon. He has spoken to her and described her as his lily. He says, "I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. But as the lily among thorns, you are mine among these thorns. You are my lilies. I give you my name just as a husband gives his wife his name." So says Christ, "I am the lily of the valleys, and you are my lilies." And you are there among the thorns. The thorns do nothing but hurt and tear, and you're afraid of them. But with a lily, it's different. You can walk among the lilies, and they won't scratch or tear you. So Christ is the lily of the valleys. And here she describes him as this apple tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. You remember elsewhere in this book of the Song of Solomon, she had lost company with her beloved, this bride, this church. And she met the watchmen who were going about the streets. And she asked them, "Have you seen my beloved, where he is?" And they said to her, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, that you should be like this?" In other words, you see, it's like people today. They say, "What is your religion better than another religion to the Christian? What is Christ more than another prophet or another Messiah? He's just one among many." Ah, but you see, the bride here is able to say, "My beloved, you should see him. His head, his eyes, his body, all parts of him, they are more to be desired than anything else." And here she is describing him as the apple tree among the trees of the wood. Now let's look for a little while at this. Here we have, and we notice this, a situation of exposure, dire exposure. And the apple tree is casting a shadow and offering shade. What a desolate situation sometimes the Christian is in. You see, of all the other trees of the forest, none could offer the protection that this apple tree could. Take, for example, as the Bible puts it, take the stately fir tree. There it is, this stately fir tree, and what do we find? The stork. It makes its nest in the fir tree. But you see, the fir tree can only offer shade. It can't give fruit. Or take, for example, the trees of Lebanon. Magnificent trees. They give plenty of shade, but no fruit. The only use that the trees of Lebanon have are to be cut down and put into the use of men. Or there is the vine tree. Now the vine has plenty to offer, the grapes that come from it. But aren't we told in the Bible that the boar comes and wastes it at its pleasure? The boar strips the vine, you see? And so it is with all these trees that are there. They have their uses, but they can't offer the same protection or the same sustenance as the apple tree, or we should call it the citrus tree. And so it is with Christ. He is the chiefest among 10,000, isn't he? Where can you find one as choice as the Lord Jesus Christ? In this world of sin and shame and darkness, where can you turn to? Here is this religion, here is that religion, offering you this and that, but not giving to you any real satisfaction. But here is Christ. If you remove Christ from the life of the world, supposing you take Christ out of this world, as many would like to do, what are you left with? A world of desolation. A world that offers you no lasting comfort or joy. A world that is blighted by sin and degradation, the degradation of sin. And that's the kind of world we live in. And you know, you'll find that as you go on through life, the rose that blooms in the summer fades in the winter, doesn't it? And the cream of today becomes sour by tomorrow. And the years of our youth are soon replaced by adult life with its anxieties and with its trials. And you see, the joys of youth become the memories of old age. There is nothing lasting. Everything is transient. And where can we turn to for true and lasting satisfaction? The only one that can offer us that is Christ, the Savior. And as you think of this description that is given to us here of the heavenly bridegroom as the apple tree, we see a vulnerable situation. The sun is shining, you see, in its meridian splendor. And as it shines in its meridian splendor, its rays begin to scorch the earth. And how welcoming an interposing object to come between you and the heat of the sun. Now, as well as living in a world that can offer us no abiding security, we live in a world where we are exposed to the anger of a holy God. A God whose righteous indignation will not tolerate the sin of man. And God, you see, is compared by the psalmist to a sun, to the sun. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. And as we stand exposed to his view, we can only become withered in his presence. It's like the farmer or like the gardener. He digs up the weeds, you see. And he throws the weeds to the one side. And what's going to happen to these weeds? The sun will scorch them. They will die. They're useless. And when God deals with us in his holy anger, he roots us up, and inevitably we will die. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death. For, says the writer to the epistle to the Hebrews, our God is a consuming fire. And you see, his righteous law condemns us for our corrupt nature. And we have failed, you see, through that corrupt nature to satisfy his divine requirements. And so as we stand before God, we stand before him exposed to his wrath, exposed to his curse. You know what the psalmist said on one occasion, and we feel like this when we are awakened from our sins. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Now, isn't that true? You look to your right, to your left, to anywhere else you want to look to, for someone to care for your soul. Is there anyone that will care for your soul like Christ? Not one. And so Christ is there, like the apple tree. But he also is a place of protection, Christ. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What a place of repose Christ is. You see, the strength of the words are really like this. I sat with delight, or I eagerly desired and sat down under his shadow. All these trees of the forest were of no avail. Having tried this one and that one, the bride couldn't find any place of rest. And how restless we are. And the tragedy is with us, we often go to this thing and that thing for our satisfaction in the world. You remember how the hymn writer puts it, and we can understand his thoughts. I sighed for rest and happiness. I yearned for them, not thee. But while I passed my Savior by, his love laid hold on me. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. Even as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. You take, for example, these stars of today, the shows, films, television. All these film stars or actresses that are presented to you as people who have got everlasting youth. And they're strong, and they're well, and they're fit. But look at them when they become old. Just like the rest of humanity, wizened. And are they happy? I don't read of great happiness among them. They're tired of their marriages. They're tired of their relationships. They float from one thing to another. They're looking for happiness. And young people today, as they watch them on the screen, they think, what a wonderful life. Is it a wonderful life? Often enough, it's a miserable life. Nothing but disappointment. Nothing but depression. Ah, but come to someone who has found Christ. He gives happiness. He gives joy. You see, we've all experienced this. I look back to the days of my youth, my unconverted days. I built my castles in the air. I thought of life as being wonderful. And out there it was to be fulfilled by doing this, that, and the other thing. Until I realized I was a sinner. And the world around me couldn't satisfy me. No matter what I tried through this, that, or the other thing, it couldn't satisfy. And then suddenly Christ laid hold of me. And I found in Christ the apple tree. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And it hasn't passed away, you know. That was some 60 years ago. And I find Christ is as sweet today and as satisfying today as he was when I was a young man beginning life. Come unto me, said Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. You see, Christ is a place of safety. And here in the cool shade of the apple tree, you can recover from the exhausting heat of the sun's rays. And what the bride is saying here is that the apple tree, you see, absorbed all the sun's rays and saved her from its scorching heat. And indeed, it's only in Christ you find safety, because he is absorbing all the sun's rays and has done. The rays of God's wrath, he has absorbed them. And you sit down and you're protected from that. Isn't it in the book of the prophet Isaiah, we read this about the Savior, that he shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a cupboard from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. There's no description better than that. The shadow of a great rock. On a warm, hot day, what better than to find some great rock that's casting a shadow and there to sit down and be refreshed? You see, sometimes we are like our first parents. We've spoken about that before. We imagine that by hiding among trees and sowing apron leaves as they did, we can hide from an omniscient God. But you can't do that. You must hide in Christ. He is the one that hides you from the wrath of God. Where then are we to turn with these sins of ours when we are awakened to realize them? Where can we find protection from the anger of a sin-hating God? Here in the Lord Jesus Christ, we find adequate protection. Just as we have been saying, the apple tree absorbs the sun's rays by its interposition and casts a shadow, so it is with the cross of Christ. The cross, it comes between us and the blazing rays of divine justice. If we want to escape from the wrath of God, from the curse of God due to sin, then we fly to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it Top Laddie who puts it like this? Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for rest, for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Ah, Christ is a place of safety. And Christ is a place of rejoicing. I sat down under his shadow with great delight. And it was with unmitigated joy that the bride here flung herself under the protection and security and the sustenance of this citrus tree. What joy it is to find such a Savior in Christ. In the parable of the open field where the treasure is, you remember how our Lord Jesus tells us that for joy, the person who finds this treasure sells all that he has, everything that he has got, and he goes and buys the field, because there's his treasure in that field. And so it is, you see, when we are awakened as sinners, we are glad to dispense with everything for the sake of Christ. I have spoken unto you, says Jesus, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And just one point more. Christ, he is a place of restoration. His fruit was sweet to my taste. Not only did the bride enjoy shelter from the heat and shade by this tree, but she was revived and restored, the bride, by the fruit of the tree. We think of the apple tree with hard apples, but this tree was different. This tree in Palestine, it had dark foliage of surpassing beauty. It gave abundant shade. And this tree, its fruit was juicy, just like the orange. And as she took of that juice of the orange, there was renewal of life. Isn't it in the prophet Isaiah, we read that there was to be a branch that would come out of the stem of Jesse, out of the line of David. And who was the branch? Christ. My servant, the branch, God calls him. And this branch is Jesus Christ, who says this to us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And what fruits you find in Christ? You remember the answer to the Shorter Catechism. What benefits do they that are effectually called partake of in this life? And the Shorter Catechism gives us the answer. They that are effectually called do in this life partake of justification, adoption, and sanctification, and the several benefits which do either accompany or flow from them. So you see, when I come to Christ, I get justification. That is to say, Christ makes me just before his Father because he clothes me with his own justness. And not only that, but when I come to Christ, he brings me into the family of God and I am adopted. And I become an heir of God's and a joint heir with Christ. Could anything be more spectacular than that? To be a joint heir with Christ. Think of it. Think of all that's in heaven. It's yours. It's there, it's yours. You're a joint heir with Christ. And more than that, you see, he sanctifies us, so that we become like Christ. Oh, to be like Christ. It's amazing. Don't you get tired of yourself? Don't you get tired of your old sinful, weary self? Well, remember this, the Spirit of God is changing you until at last you become Christ-like. Like unto Christ himself. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. Isn't it Jeremiah who says, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. But let us conclude. We get complete satisfaction from Christ when we come to him. His fruit was sweet to my taste. Here the bride would sit, and nothing would prevail upon her to want to be removed from him. And it's the same with us, you see, when we come to know Christ. Would you exchange him for anyone else? Or anything else? You wouldn't exchange Christ for worlds. Isn't it the psalmist who says this with regard to the Savior? This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. You question and you say, aren't you being just a little bit enthusiastic about the whole thing? Is your religion not carrying you away too far? No, my dear friend. I cannot prove it to you. You will have to experience this for yourself. I can only tell you about the Queen of Sheba. She was told about the grandeur of Solomon, the wonder of his person, the wisdom. People were saying there was never a man who had such wisdom as him. And that his palace was beyond all reckoning. His servants, the way they attended to the duties that were given to them in that palace regime. And at last the Queen of Sheba said to herself, I must go and see this sovereign. I must discover for myself. I don't believe what they're saying about him. And so she went. She met with Solomon. She saw the wonder of his apartments. She saw the dignity and the majesty of his servants who attended him. She proved it all. And when she returned home, she had to make this confession. The half was never told me. And as a Christian minister, and my brethren in the ministry will bear me out on this, we can only speak to you about Christ. You must experience him for yourself. And when you do, you will say the half was never told me. You see, let me just quote something more from my own experience. As a young man, I used to say, one day before I die, I'll make my peace with God. But during my young years, I want to enjoy myself to the limit. I want to go out into that world and taste its pleasures. And when I'm old and done, I'll ask God to have mercy on me. Will you get such a life? I was never cut down, but many of my contemporaries were. I was given the opportunity to taste Christ for myself. And when I tasted him, all the other things vanished into insignificance in comparison with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not exaggerating, my dear friend. And I'm only asking, and I say this in the words of John Bunyan, come and welcome to Jesus.